Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Sometimes we get involved in heated discussions which end with the line, "Well, now that we've put the world to right, how about a cup of tea?" That's the theme of this particular programme, putting the world right. What is radio if not a voice for good? What is being a disc jockey if it's not a chance to put the world right? So this is my stab at it for 30 minutes at least. I'm not going to rant and rave, indeed I promise to be quite reasonable. I'm not going to inflict my personal hobby horses upon you and add to the world's pains and injustices by abusing your ears. I'm not going to push my little opinions, for that would be self-indulgent. After all, who am I and what do I know? No, all I want to do is pick on a few itchy sore spots and recommend Jesus' wisdom as soothing cream to heal and help. First, though, here is a song by Anne Murray expressing our grief at the state of the world and our deep-felt need to hear a little good news now and then.
This morning, the kids had the morning news show on. Brian Campbell was talking about the fighting in Lebanon. Some senator was squawking about the bad economy. It's gonna get worse, you see. Need a change in policy. There's a local paper rolled up in a rubber band. One more sad story's one more than I can stand. Just once, how I'd like to see the headline say, not much to print today. Can't find nothing better to say. Because nobody robbed a liquor store on the lower part of town. Nobody OD'd, nobody burned a single building down. Nobody fired a shot in anger, nobody had to die in vain. Sure could use a little good news today. Come home this evening, I bet that the news will be the same. Somebody takes a hostage, somebody steals a plane. How I want to hear the anchor man talk about a county fair and how we cleaned up the air, how everybody learned to care. A little good news today.
So let's get started putting the world to right. Let's start with an easy one, solving the Middle East's long-standing problems. I think that the core problem is the fact that both Arabs and Israelis, Muslims and Jews, believe in an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If they poke each other's eyes out, they soon become blind. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, but I say to you, love your enemies." Wow, that was radical. That shocked his hearers, then and still does today. What if Arabs and Jews tried a bit of love and acceptance and grace and magnanimity? So in other words, what Jews and Muslims both need is a little dose of Christianity. Letters and complaints to Jesus, please, not me. If you do send me any, I'll just love and forgive you anyway. While we wait for better news from the Middle East, here's Cliff Richard singing about The Better Way.
Can see the secrets that bind us back to the earth till love rings so true. Eyes of compassion and tears of a deepening heart. I have seen the pain of a cruel out a hand for suffering to ease, bringing some comfort to the tears. Look, everything goes, everyone knows there's something beyond us. There is a
Now that we've put the Middle East right, let's solve Northern Ireland. It's similar to the Middle East in many ways, with two sides in conflict with little compromise. The same advice would be Jesus' command, love one another. More of us and less of them and us. Let's focus particularly on marches and parades. What can we do about them? Business as usual means scenes of violence, the police being piggy in the middle, and economic ruin. Banning all marches and parades would offend all sides and punish peaceful paraders along with violent ones. Marching in non-provocative places and in non-inflammatory styles would be to concede that people are not free to do what they like anywhere and that they could not walk down any street dressed in any way they chose. Why is it important to march up and down? They say it is to commemorate soldiers, freedom fighters, or terrorists, depending on your point of view. We parade at Remembrance Sunday. I have a solution for what it's worth. I know now it will not work, and it'll be laughed out of court, but then, hey, I don't mind being in a minority of one when I know I am right. Come on then, what's your daft idea to square the circle of endless cycles of violence in Northern Ireland, and in particular the annual friction of parades? Well, rather than the present trouble, and rather than ban all the marches, why not march together, hand in hand, commemorating the same shared experiences, albeit from different points of view, remembering all those who value freedom, remembering all the victims who have suffered and died on all sides, but share the remembering, share the grief, share the hopes and the determination to build a better society for the future. Do it together. Sharing rather than having a ghetto mentality. Marching together, we would begin to build unity out of broken fragmentation. Here's Tom Ingalls' song about unity. We are one body. It features black male and white female South Africans singing together at the height of apartheid.
As you look around you, you will see people from different nations and different cultures and backgrounds. And yet we've all come together for one purpose, and that is to worship. And as we worship together, our differences seem to disappear, and we really do become one body in Christ.
Song will sound like in Zulu.
We are
You are listening to 3TFM's Holy Half Hour, in which we are putting the world right tonight. If you think that walking together is a known runner, if you pardon the expression, then I have a further piece of advice for Northern Ireland. Not my advice, but the Bible's. St. Paul's, to be precise. And both Catholics and Protestants say they live by the Bible. I'm thinking of the weaker brother or sister point in the 1 Corinthians chapter 8. The point is, you may have the freedom and the right to do something, but you may still choose not to do it, because it might offend somebody else. In the New Testament times, the Jews were very uptight about what you should eat and not eat. For example, Jews don't eat pork. The earliest Christians were brought up as Jews, but they felt that Jesus had liberated them from all that sort of rigid legalism, so they could enjoy the freedom to eat pork chops or whatever was previously forbidden. However, when they socialized with Jews, out of respect for them, they didn't serve up offensive foods like pork or gammon steaks. Well, if we apply the same common sense, generous-spirited principle in Northern Ireland, Christian people may be given the right to march by the Parades Commission, may have a historical right to walk down any street, but may freely choose not to exercise that right out of sensitivity to the sensitivities of their more uptight neighbours. It's called meeting folk more than halfway. It happens all the time. If everybody in a room is bilingual, except a British tourist who can only speak English, everybody speaks English for the sake of the weaker brother linguistically. We all accommodate the vulnerable baby, or the frail elderly person, or the disabled person, and so on. Here's a song by Kenny Rogers about a man who changes from a hardline, legalistic position to a more human, sensitive, gracious attitude.
In Cumberland, Kentucky, on a cool autumn evening, Billy lay in love with Mary Ann. She was a rich judge's daughter, he was the son of a miner, but that night their love was more than they could stand. The judge said to his daughter, "That son of that coal miner is someone you'd do well to leave alone." She knew her dad so well, she knew she couldn't tell, but the truth was bound to show before too long. Their love, it started growing on its own. You can't outrun the long arm of the law. No, you can't outrun the long arm of the law. Billy placed his hand on Mary, and he felt the baby moving. Kissed her and said, "I'll see you when I can." The judge had made a promise when he caught up with Billy, he'd send him far away from Mary Ann. The whole town knew he'd do it. Too many times he had proved it to at least 100 men behind the wall. He'd smile behind that frown, and when he brought that gavel down, he called himself the long arm of the law. And he'd set his mind on seeing Billy fall. In a hot and humid mine shack, a midwife pulled the sheet back and placed a cool damp towel on Mary Ann. Billy's eyes were wide with wonder from the spell he was under when she placed the newborn baby in his hands. He didn't hear the siren, just the baby crying. That miracle of love is all he saw. When the door came crashing down and Billy turned around, he felt the heart and soul inside him fall. He stood face to face with the long arm of the law. You can't outrun the long arm of the law. No, you can't outrun the long arm of the law. You can hide out for a while, he says.
you can't outrun the long arm of the law.
Seemed like everybody down in Cumberland, Kentucky came out that day to see poor Billy's trial. The court was called to order. There sat the judge's daughter. She looked so proud holding Billy's child. When they brought Billy to him, the judge just looked right through him as he held that holy Bible in his hand. And he smiled at his grandson, then his eyes cut back to Billy, said, I think this time the law will understand. Son, I sentence you to life with Mary Ann.
You can't outrun the long arm of the law. No, you can't outrun the long arm of the law. He said to Billy with a smile, I know you hid out for a while, but you can't outrun the long arm of the law. No, you can't outrun the long arm of the law.
So now we've put to right the Middle East and Northern Ireland, how about addictions? There are many and varied addictions. Alcohol, drugs, gambling, pornography, sex, money, TV, mobile phones, chocolate, bling, food, swearing, and so on. None of tonight's problems are easy, that's why we call them problems. But at core, they're all fairly obvious problems, and often simpler than we make out. For instance, it is simple to know that love is better than hate. It's just not easy to do it. It's simple to know that we should love our enemies into becoming friends, and share more, and consider our weaker brothers and sisters. It's just not so easy to do these things. Well, it's the same with addiction. It is relatively easy to know I should stop, but much harder to actually stop. Well, here is some advice. Blooming obvious advice, really. But it needs to be said, and it's easier said than done, I realise. Burn the bridges across which the temptation comes. If we want to stop smoking, don't have any cigarettes easily to hand in the house. Don't sit looking at them on the mantelpiece, trying hard to resist the temptation to light up. Just don't have them around. If we want to stop food binging, don't stock up the cupboard and fridge freezer with treats. If we want to stop drinking alcohol, don't go to the pub and don't have alcohol in the house. That's what I mean by burning the bridges across which the temptation comes into our lives. It's not about willpower, we have none. It's more about where we position ourselves, near or far from the temptations. So in the Lord's Prayer, we pray desperately, forgive us our sins, and more than that, lead us not into temptation, and save us from evil altogether. Here's a song written by an alcoholic struggling to distance himself from his temptation, step by step, one day at a time.
Take the ribbon from my hair, shake it loose and let it fall, laying soft against your skin like the shadows on the wall. Come and lay down by my side till the early morning light. All I'm taking is your time. Help me make it through tonight. I don't care what's right or wrong, and I won't try to understand. Let the devil take tomorrow. Lord, tonight I need a friend. Yesterday help me make it through the night. Sad to be alone. Help me make it through the night. I don't want to be alone. Help me make it through the night.
Well, we haven't time to solve all the world's problems in just half an hour, but we've made a fair stab at a few. And to finish with, here is the clue to solving all the other problems in the world. You can work it out for yourself from this thought, which has so many applications. Just imagine two trains sitting parallel in a station, but they're facing in opposite directions. When you read what's on the front, one goes maybe all the way to heaven, the other goes all the way to hell, but two opposite destinations. So you have to pick which train to get on board. You have to choose what destination you want. It doesn't make much difference when they're stationary there, but it will make a big difference as soon as they start to move. There's lots of applications of that. For example, two widows on the same day said to me, "I'll never get over this grief." The other one said, "I will get over this grief, just give me time." They were in the same situation, but they were facing in different directions, and very quickly the distance between them was obvious. They were self-fulfilling. And we have to choose between God's way and our own way. Jesus spoke about two roads, a busy broad one to hell and a less popular narrow road to heaven. Jesus spoke about two types of people, the sheep and the goats, the wheat and the weeds, the wise and the foolish people. He said the wise people build their lives on the solid foundation of him and his will. And the foolish people build their lives on the shifting sand of self-will. In the storms of life, only the lives built on Jesus, the solid rock, stand the test. But the good news is that on him, they do stand the test. So now we've put each other and the world to right, let's put the kettle on and have a cup of tea. Bye for now.